Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads. No fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support.
How exactly did a boss think it would go when he instructed his nearly all-female staff to forget about it, and not to mention the sex scandal involving its recently rehired male employee? That's exactly what we're going to find out today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
Yes, it is. We all got them. If you want to share yours, your Office Horror Story, do it anonymously at 833-HATE-JOB or on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We'd love to hear it, get it off your chest, and it's kind of just like a totally safe space for getting those stories out there. Today on the program, I'd like to introduce our additional co-host to the program, to the mix of everyone who comes on and shares their stories and listens to the stories with us. You may remember him if you're listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Sean Reed. I won't even say the name that I used to have for you on the air years ago because I know you hate it.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that name that has gone away and will never, ever come back.
Oh, it'll come back. It'll be a Freudian slip at some point, but
it'll come back. But we're gonna we're going to think that it will never come back. I give it 17 minutes, maybe 11.
Maybe we'll make it through a whole episode. I'm not sure, but we'll do our best. So welcome to the program. You, of course, have a gazillion stories, adventures in workplaces all over the place. So I'm excited because we work together at a couple of radio stations. It's been like 15, 20 years since we physically were in the same workplace together working.
What's interesting is no matter what state, no matter what zip code we've been in, we've crossed paths of stories of annoying colleagues. Mm-hmm. I brought something to your attention in March and mid-August. You just give me a call while I'm on the air. You bring up somebody entirely different. And I said, hey, remember back in March? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in this case, your person's name is Danielle. Mine was Barb.
Yeah.
Same human. They're twins. They were born together and they went and lived there. Totally separate lives, but both annoying colleagues nonetheless.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. So I'm excited to hear those stories. The way our show works, you call in, you share your story with us, or you write in, and then we talk about it, and then we end up going off on rants of our own office horror stories. So I think we'll just jump right into today's episode and our first letter that came in today at officehorrorstories.com. And let's I can just scroll down here and I will get to it. It says, I once interned at a Renaissance festival during the summertime. It was a very short-lived internship. I love all the things in the Renaissance times, so I was excited about this opportunity. But there were so many red flags I noticed, and I knew I had to get out of there once they started escalating. First, it only paid $10 an hour, which is hardly anything for a college graduate who was looking for experiences and paying $1,000 in rent. I took the internship not aware that I would have to work 6 to 7 days a week the entire summer. I was forced to work parades every single weekend with the entertainers, even though I wasn't an entertainer. My boss expected me to know how to do every aspect of the internship. Didn't even seem like an internship because we were all thrown into the work with no training or experience. I remember having to call local businesses to see if they would sponsor the festival, and in return for sponsoring hundreds of dollars, they'd really receive a couple tickets to go. My boss and the owner of the festival were very cheap when it came to working with our partners. They expected us to give as little as possible, and in return they wanted everything from the sponsors. Most of the performers ever made, the most they ever made was about $15, and some of them have been working for the festival their entire lives. For a lot of the performers, the festival is their only source of income. The breaking point for me was when one of the main entertainers was arrested for sexually assaulting a woman on the festival grounds the prior year. My boss, who was friends with this entertainer, told all of us interns, all female, mind you, not to speak of the arrest to anyone in public. She asked us to pretend like it never happened and to stop listening to any news stories about it, even though all of us were terrified since this entertainer had come into the office and talked to us before. After we were told to stay hush about the scandal, I realized it wasn't worth it to stay interning there, so I found a new job right away. I've not gone to the festival as a guest since, and I do not plan to after I learned how they treat their employees. I love that. That's just completely and utterly insane and probably all too typical of not just like festivals, but anything where you have something like that of a scandal that occurs. And then, oh, let's pretend this didn't happen. This is going to look bad. Yes, it's going to look bad. But, and you don't want to like just like put a giant banner up saying, hey, one of our staff got arrested for this. But, you know, you got to be a little more compassionate about it to your employees.
Are they still looking for interns? $10 an hour internship? I never got paid for an internship.
I think there's new expectations in the world of internships than there used to be. Because
it's mediocre where these interns and it's like fishing. You hook these, and I'm going to get college credit and I'm going to learn so much and I'm going to get onto this great corporation that is nationally known and it's going to line me up for a full-time job. Nope. You're going to make $60 over 3 months. You're going to wear a costume 45 hours a week in 92 degree heat, and we're never going to wash it. You are going to be having a fake smile on your face, seeing thousands of people, and we're going to make thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars because of this. And you are going to maybe get your pay and a gas card if we can find one in the prize closet.
Where was this internship?
Oh, this is hypothetical. This actually didn't happen at all.
You've worn a costume, haven't you, at some point in time somewhere?
In a bird for a minor league baseball team. I've been Hawkeye in air quotes. We'll just call him Hawkeye because, well, his name's Hawkeye.
Hang on. My mic, everything just went out. Oh, there we go. I think it's my headphones. I can hear you now.
Are we good?
We're good. My headphones were screwing up earlier and all of a sudden everything went out, but I think everyone could hear. I'm the only one who couldn't. So
one, two. That, you know what that is? That is Real Ghost Stories Online, the last show episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Child you were referencing. Yeah, that's her fucking with us right now.
It's back. Okay.
Cross-podcasting.
So you were, let's pick it up. You were a Hawkeye. That's interesting. And I've never done the job where you had to put on the giant costume. I came close once, but I refused and threatened to quit. And then they said, okay, we'll find someone else.
I'm sorry. You threatened to quit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please go into details on that.
There was a station once where they wanted someone to dress in, they had this promotion and it was called the Cash Cow, which is a very typical radio promotion where it's like, hey, it rhymes, cash cow, let's give away money in springtime to people, and then we'll have somebody going into a parade and dress up like a cow. And the thing is, it wasn't even like a good cow outfit. It looked like a cow that had quit eating, had mad cow disease, was slowly wasting away. And okay, was almost
idea. We're going to call it the cash cow. Okay. Yeah. We're going to name a moolah. We're going to name her moolah because she's a daughter. She's a female cow. It's fucking great. All right. But here's the deal. Okay. The consultant that we flew in that we paid $7,500 to fly him in for 5 days, who gave us this great idea to do this 8 week long promotion. Yeah. Well, his cow costume that he advised us getting was, $2,400 from the goodmascotcompany.com. We have $70. So this, I know it does look like a badger that was literally hit on I-5, but we're going to call it Moolah because Moolah has a name tag around her neck. Yes, cows have name tags. Well, usually that's dogs, but that's okay. All right. Who fucking cares? Get into it. Where's my intern?
Yep.
Go to the busiest intersection. Almost get hit by a semi that literally almost hit you. But hey, we're really going to up the numbers in 25 to 34-year-old females.
What do you think? That's exactly what it was like. And yeah, this cow was really fucking sad. I mean, you would look at it and go, is that supposed to be a cow? Or is that, and the funny part is, when this was going on, the mad cow disease scare was big. Like people,
it's topical. We're gonna love it. People are dying and they're gonna tune in because, you know, people are dying.
And nobody at the radio station connected those dots going, maybe this is a bad idea. And so I said, no, I'm not doing this. And they ended up having someone else dress in the outfit. And I remember we were in a parade and it was literally scaring children. Kids, you know, mascots are supposed to be warm and cuddly. You want to go hug it. This is like this anorexic cow with very erect udders, just, you know, sticking all out everywhere. And it's like walking around thinking kids are going to want to hug it, not realizing how scary this thing looks. And children are like fleeing away from their bags of candy that they just got from the last float of the Sesame Street characters because this freaky cow is coming close to them and they're gonna get a face full of erect udder. And they, you know,
I appreciate the will and the branding and marketing, but you'd like to think some of these people who actually order these costumes, and the only reason they ordered said mascot costumes were for child friendly events.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing against visually impaired people, but you almost have to think, did you look at this before you ordered this? Like, what child, sane child, would want to go up to this and get a free t-shirt or some candy? And you, sir, have a higher threshold of the knowledge of the word no, because when I was a bird, it was for a minor league baseball team. I think for me, it wasn't so much that I was above it. It was more of the, okay, and minor league sports in general, you have zero budget, you have zero employees, but you have, I mean, you're, in my case, you're getting paid to watch baseball. You're getting paid to promote a baseball team. So for me, I kind of sucked it up. I embraced the smell of the last seven people who wore Hawkeye, and I did it because, you know what? Aside from me being able to do it, there was there was nobody.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing it was probably a costume that the kids did want to come up to.
The bird did not look anorexic. Yeah. Hawkeye did not have erect udders.
Yeah,
and that's a
different dynamic then. You know, and honestly, if that cow didn't look like a character out of The Walking Dead that had just been eaten by zombies, I might have been more apt to do it. But it was scary looking. I wonder if it was one of those deals where, you know, when you look at Halloween costumes sometimes on a costume bag or online, and of course it looks wonderful. They have the model that's wearing it and it fits perfectly. And then you get it home and you're like, what the fuck were they wearing in that picture? Because it sure as hell wasn't this. I wonder if that's how it was represented. And that's just what they ended up getting.
I would like to think that what would be interesting in looking at social media is to see if that station is still doing that contest and they're still using that moolah.
I believe I think they might still be doing the contest, but I think the costume died while I was there. I think there's eventually a mutiny of saying this thing's going to die. We're not going to use it. And if someone tries to, or someone's going to come in at night and burn it, and it eventually went away.
Or the Renaissance Fest intern. I mean, and to those listening, that you're going to have the internship, you're going to have a job where you're going to be a to-do list. You're going to have 45 things to do. You're going to have only a few days to do it. But just be as much passion as you have in wanting to get into a career and wanting to get your foot in the door. Make a list of things that are deal breakers, because there are so many companies out there will just prey on your passion. Well, you want to get a foot in the door, don't you? You can say no. It's okay. It's okay. There'll be another opportunity. If you're passionate enough, you'll find it.
I agree. And that in hindsight's 2020 a lot on that, but I think a lot of us should have heard that at a younger age. And if it's something that seems like a really great opportunity, that seems like this would be a great place to work, but probably not the Renfest, but if it's like, this is my dream workplace, I'd love to work at this place. And if they say, we're not going to pay you, but yes, this could be a real potential thing. Sometimes you got to suck that up and do it for next to nothing because of what the opportunity is. There could be a reason they're saying we're not going to pay anything, because there's a lot of people who will take that for nothing and then do end up transferring in there. And it doesn't hurt to ask either and say, hey, can I talk to, is there anybody here that started as an intern and is now employed? Could I talk to them? That would be a great motivation right there, where you can kind of see how that path works rather than just take their word for it.
When you become resourceful and you get your side hustle, and you may or may not have to meet in dark alleys on Thursdays.
Yeah.
But that's another show.
It takes time, but eventually the dark alleys do go out of the mix.
And then it just becomes a hobby.
833-HOB. 833-HOB is our number. To share your office horror story with us or online at officehorrorstories.com. Next letter says, this is the one that sticks out the most in my mind. In other words, I've never forgotten this incident at work. I was hired to run a yet-to-be-built fitness center and was to do some training at one of the currently operating clubs. The owner-manager of the facilities was meeting me at the club to show me around and introduce me to the manager, other employees, etc. Manager was female, which currently early 80s of this time period was kind of unusual for the male-dominated fitness club industry, but honestly, I didn't think too much about it. On to the horror part. The owner walks into the manager's office. I follow and sit in one of the chairs in front of the manager's desk. The owner plops himself down in his manager's chair, which I thought was kind of rude and not his place. Female manager walked into her office, kind of startled that we had already made ourselves at home and were loudly greeted by the owner. It was a weird personality change. He'd been very professional with me in tone and manner, and now he appeared to act like the life of the party. He loudly tells her to continue, sit in his lap. She refuses. He tells her again, come sit in my lap. She again says no, trying to laugh at the situation. I could not believe the weirdness of what was going on. He instructs her one more time to come sit on his lap, and this time, to my surprise, she complies. Immediately, he wraps his arms around her and holds her tight and lets out a massive, ground-shaking fart. She tried to escape his grasp, but to no avail. Her olfactory sense was smoked by his prehistoric ass gas. I was maybe 22 at the time and was stunned. I'll never forget the pained look on her face. He had totally elfed her and showed me who was boss at his business. I'm happy to say that this gentleman passed several years ago and thankfully would not survive the Me Too movement. Thing is, that sort of shit existed not that long ago.
I never knew Mr. Lauer went into the fitness club industry.
But first, this is Today on NBC.
Oh, yeah. That sucks for her. I mean, that's another situation of wanting to get your proverbial foot in the door, wanting to be there on the ground floor. New construction, new fitness club. If it has a good blueprint, it could be a big money-making entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out that you're going in business with Captain Sleazeball.
And unfortunately, I mean, that sort of shit, you know, I shouldn't say existed. It still does exist. It's being weeded out now more than ever. But I would say, you know, that the acceptance of those things for such a long period of time is really kind of shocking. I made this reference the other day where it was kind of funny because only 10, 15 years ago, we would look at shows like Mad Men or something and go, oh my God, I cannot believe that they would talk to employees that way. And just the overt sexual harassment that would go on back in those days, while kind of not really realizing how overt the shit was going on in our own backyards. And I can say now, looking back on some of that, it's like, holy shit, like there was... there's been a generational or a, maybe not even generational. Maybe the word is societal shift in what is acceptable and what is not. And it's for the better. It's getting rid of that sort of shit where people were just trying to get away with too much in the name of, oh, I'm just being fun. I'm just being silly. He does that sort of stuff. Like, no, that's kind of fucked up. You shouldn't be doing that sort of stuff.
I think ignorance and humor were big, two big blankets to cover up some serious fucked up stuff happening. Yeah. And I think with the advent of anything and everything, with from technology to social media to we become numb in so many things because it's the shock and awe of what's next and instantaneous. With that. It has come along where, okay, it doesn't matter. You're a guy, you're a girl. There's some ground rules here. And these ground rules have been sorely exploited over the last, 50 years.
Yeah.
It's the amount of time. So with that, I think, you know, as much as it still happens, I think there's a lot of people still in power, specifically males, that don't particularly know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
These business owners, they've run their culture for the most part, say, what, north of 60-70%, that it's been a good work environment. But then this one employee that's been there 35-plus years that is an integral part of this money-making entity, I don't know what the hell to do. I've covered up for you 20 times over the last two decades.
Yeah.
Your shit together. And old Carl doesn't know any different. He's ignorant to it. What have I been doing? That's not normal to have a lock on your door that I can press a button under my desk. Or shit.
Yeah, we always done it that way.
I don't know why Carl lives in the South, but alas, it's an enlightening, way too long situation that is transpiring each and every day.
I shared stories on the air on this show now of some of the adventures at places that you were aware of, where we had some crazy bosses that got fired for sexual harassment. But what about some of your adventures at some stations? Have you, and we don't talk about locations on this show, but have you had any situations where within a workplace you had a boss or a coworker or something who was really pushing that line that you witnessed them go down for? And I'm saying get fired. I'm not making a sexual reference here. I meaning literally they got fired because of the shit that they were trying to get away with.
Thinking. Going back in the not that one. Here's the thing. There is, going back to the Renaissance Fest intern getting in the door, kind of doing anything. There was a morning show talent. And here's the way that radio works is you have essentially a ladder, and you have the part-time people and the interns, and they all grovel for the free food gift certificates, and they're lucky they get to wash the promotions van, and then they get to do that for 3 months in the summer, and they get rewarded with two tickets to see their favorite artist, which initially is backstage passes, but ultimately is in row double X in section 412. Here you go. Thanks for being a slave. Then you have the air talent, the on-air, the DJ. Hey, I'm cool. And there was a morning show individual who the saying in the radio world is sometimes their ego is so big their head can't fit through the studio door.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman was that. And I don't have any physical evidence because, quite honestly, some people love gossip and hearsay and what have you. That's not my style. I know if somebody is called a asshole or dumb or pervert, this, that, or the other, cool.
Yeah.
Let them prove it. I don't want to further that rumor or confirm that fact. Pretty positive he had sex with half the promotional staff one summer. Oh, he's married with two kids and a dog. But you know what? He had the number one morning show.
Let's look the other way, everybody.
Hey, they're just going to be interns till August. We're good.
Yeah, that sort of shit. I think I know who you're talking about, and I think I remember hearing rumblings.
No names.
I know, no names. But I remember hearing rumblings about this individual far before you had this experience.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing about hearsay, which we're obviously there are more than enough actual stories that you get to vent about and we talk about here on this show. But the thing of it is, sometimes the flip side is when you hear something and mundane details, it's boring to spread factual, boring gossip.
Sure.
If you hear something happened of Danielle in accounting, well, once it goes through your ears, if you want to pass it along, you're not just going to say factually what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She stole her pen. No, she stole her pen. And I'm pretty sure that last Saturday, her husband and her in the parking lot after the Christmas party. Hello.
Yeah. And then the next person it goes to, and it involved Susie's dog. There was Susie's dog sitting. How fucked up is that? I can't believe they're into that. And it just keeps escalating.
In the fitting room before it was even open. I know. And now it's larceny. They broke into a Target. What? And it circles back to Danielle in accounting. It's like, the fuck? I borrowed her pen.
And you had me having sex with my husband and a dog behind a Pier 1 while robbing the Home Depot? Topless?
And on a fucking wicker couch? What is it, 1992?
While listening to Stevie Nicks' Greatest Hits? Yeah.
He said, I'm not belittling the actual truthful shit that people have to go through. Sometimes boring gossip. It's not boring gossip. It's called the truth.
And I think it was some of these things, and things like this do get out of hand where you have rumors that float and float and float and float. But when there's smoke, there's often a fire of some sort. It may be a much smaller fire than everyone thinks it is. But in a situation like this, where it's essentially there's been smoke all over the country with stories that from totally different places, you kind of go, wow, it's interesting that these same sort of stories seem to pop up over here and over there and over in this place, and nobody in these respective burn piles knows each other. So it's not like it really followed. And sometimes you go, there's something to this. What is it exactly? I don't know. But
Is that the only story that you know of for fictitious, maybe not fictitious person, or is there something that you have?
Mine was extremely generic, just that sort of thing, where it was, you know, it was just like, yeah, you know, so-and-so, they're you know, they're not the most upstanding when it comes to morals, essentially, is what I'll say on that. I'm pretty much exactly what you said.
What's unfortunate is people that actually don't, God forbid, do anything or alienate a specific individual or a specific group of individuals, but they're just creepy. They're just, it's like, you haven't done anything, and it's not a fireable offense, but if I can go this way through a row of cubicles to get to where I need to be, opposed to going past your office, I will walk outside one exit of the building, around the parking lot, and back in to get my Diet Coke.
Well, and you know, with things like that, with people, I think a lot of us have, you know, kind of a radar. And And it's just intuition. And without even knowing, before I ever even heard any of those stories about said individual, I just got a creepy feeling. I don't know what it is, but I can read people usually pretty good. And I have another reading people story we can talk about after this one. But I'm usually pretty good where it's like, there's something off here. There's something just not quite right. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. So when you end up hearing those rumors, you kind of go, oh, that makes sense. Now, it is, part of that's just filling in the blank, and you're more apt than to believe rumors, which is not always a good thing. But it is, it kind of confirms some of those feelings. Where you kind of get a sense of the individual's character. I had one where the individual, I never got a weird sense out of him. And he was someone who was in the industry for a long period of time. I think I even grew up listening to the guy. Ended up working with him. I didn't really know him from Adam other than being on the radio, and seemed like a really nice guy. Ended up having an office really close to him.
Are we talking about who eventually went to prison for something on said computer?
I don't even know which one you're talking about there. Maybe that might be. This is someone who crossed state lines in a Chris Hansen sort of way.
Oh, yep.
And is that the one you're thinking of? Or are you talking about a different one?
Did he have billboards?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was crossing state lines, and it was something with a minor. And I was like, holy shit. Because I never, I'm always kind of like picking out who's the weird, creepy person at the workplace and kind of avoiding them. And if I had to look at that workplace, he would be on the end of my list.
Upstanding individual.
Yeah.
Humor, good morals,
yeah.
You think.
Then I started going, like, questioning, like, my judgment of character. Because I'm usually really accurate with it. And this one just totally threw me for a loop. I'm like, I didn't even get any, like, there wasn't even, like, a fucking hair of this guy is weird or there's something going on with him or anything. I mean, almost everybody has a little something. This guy was just like, you know, the only thing I can like reference was like how shocked everyone was with Bill Cosby or something, where it's like, holy shit, America's dad. That's how this guy was like on a personal level, where it's like, no way. And yeah, way. And that's the scary thing, where the ones who are really good at it and doing really extreme shit, they're the ones who you never know about until after the fact, if they get caught.
J-E-L-L-O.
Yeah.
No.
It was fucked up. I've tried to Facebook stalk. I've tried to find information on said individual years later. I can't find anything about him. And I know his real name, too. And I looked it up. I can't find anything. So I don't know. I know he went to prison, but I don't know much after that. And I don't really talk to anybody back at that office, so I don't even know if anybody would have an answer. I'm just curious, you know.
When did you fully have that time in your life where you did not, every time something came up or a name was referenced or you and your wife, you were thinking of a movie title that you didn't Google, where you just, I don't know. And I'm just going to allow myself to think throughout the day and then hopefully just randomly, that's right, it was Back to the Future 2. I mean, were you 14?
No.
Was it a decade ago? Was it Tuesday?
I think that started when I got an iPhone. Prior to that, it was I would go Google it on a computer if I remembered to do it. But now you can just do it instantly. Now it's boom, you got the iPhone, I can Google at this moment. But I think at the time when I got my iPhone, I was still Yahooing, quite honestly. So
because when you have years. These colleagues and you want to get all this dirt on them, literally part of our brain goes, find them on Facebook. Find
them
on Facebook. And it's like an alarm on your iPhone that you forgot to snooze or stop. Find them on Facebook. Find them on Facebook. Shut up. Am I going crazy? Literally, it has just become a part. And then I don't know about you, but sometimes you almost get, addicted, for lack of a better term, where you find something, whether it's horrific or just you're curious. And next thing you know, 45 minutes has passed.
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell? I was literally looking for the year that this movie came out. And now I'm finding out the hometown and birthplaces of the entire cast.
Yes, that I do quite often. And it's like a house of cards, essentially, or dominoes. You start looking up one thing that's kind of like, what the fuck was that? And then it usually follows a theme. So like if I were to start looking up that guy, then I'll be like, well, who else was fucked up that I've worked with? I wonder what they're up to now. And you start trying to find them. Oh, what about that person? And then it just keeps going. And we're in a world where I don't think this is something that's unique to humans today. I think we've always had this desire and this curiosity about people once time has passed, especially if something traumatic or weird happened with them, where you want to find out the answers of what happened to them. It's just now we have the ability to do it. In the past, it would have been calling people up, whatever happened to so-and-so. Now that's like a last resort. Now we're like basically our own private investigators digging into this shit before we're ever interacting with another person asking the question.
I think that is a valid point. We would have to go to the library. We would have to look in the Dewey Decimal System. We would have to go to our Encyclopedia Britannica to find out what the hell. Do you know that there was a time that you had to literally get up, go to the TV, and switch the channel manually? Holy fuck.
Yeah. Try and tell the kids that. And it's like, they're like, what? Why would you do that? It's like, yeah, fucking amazing.
You just talk to the TV, put on ESPN.
Tell my daughters to turn off the television. Like, I can't find the remote. There's a button on the TV. What? There is? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, where? And they do kind of hide them, but still, it's like, it eludes them. It's a concept that doesn't exist. 833-HATE-JOB is our number, 833-HATE-JOB. Let's go to another letter before we wrap up today. It says, I worked with a complete train wreck. She had no social skills and was incredibly needy. The office was an hour from her trailer, but she didn't want to move closer because the city was too ethnic, according to her. She invited strange men she met online to meet her at home and would occasionally let them sleep over and spend the day with her 11-year-old daughter the next day if school was out. The daughter was eventually removed when one of the internet boyfriends impregnated her. A coworker went to court to fight for custody reinstatement because she couldn't pay her bills without the child support. Ended up in jail for contempt after the judge said no. Some of her office greatest hits? She thought it appropriate to announce to any coworkers, regardless of age or seniority, that she never wore underwear. Frequently wore stretched thin white leggings, which let everyone know without a shadow of a doubt that she wasn't kidding. I would aggressively harass the owner of the company, who was only on site a few times a year for official visits for free company swag. He had a good grace not to humiliate her, but everyone else wanted to crawl into a hole. Outed a gay contractor to the entire building, including gossiping about all the intimate details of their planned adoption. People didn't know she wasn't supposed to be sharing the info, and bought baby gifts. The adoption fell through after the baby was born, and the contractor had to deal with returning them and finding out he'd been outed in the process. She didn't see how she'd done anything wrong. Developed an obsession over an employee who lost some company property when he fell asleep at a girl's house. Instead of working, she appointed herself to track down the alleged thief online by illegally accessing databases we were only allowed to use for specific work reasons. The employee was fired for multiple reasons, including all the women who kept calling his company cell looking for a booty call, and she continued to defend him and his innocence. And also told racial jokes to a summer intern and didn't see why she'd done anything wrong or why the intern quit. One day she came into work with a huge hickey on her neck and didn't know until her supervisor asked her to cover it up. She called her lay of the week from her desk phone and yelled at him loudly, insisting this never would have happened if he'd kept his teeth in. So there you go. That's one where you go, well, how the fuck did that person keep their job with all that shit going on? Why is it that some employers refuse to fire employees that are really, they should not be there for any reason?
Employee of the month, line one. Employee of the month, holding line one. Apparently, they were having an affair. Was she married?
It doesn't sound like it.
Was he?
I have no idea.
Because there was some type of open for business when they were closed for business in some trailer. She had some information that he did not want to get out somewhere, because that you can only get to a certain point.
You know, I think you're right. I think that's probably the answer to the question, because you wonder sometimes.
All the shit that I'm having to deal with and all this stuff you continue to do has not hit that pinnacle that is more shit to worry about than the information you possess that you could say.
Somebody's got something on somebody. I think you're exactly right. That's probably the answer quite often in those situations. It just eludes me, going, how the fuck would you keep this person employed when it's just this laundry list of shit? But, yeah.
I and you in your former life being what could have been a professional chef are an enjoyer of the culinary arts. Yeah. But here's the thing. Have your fucking Culinary Arts International Fish Fest at home, okay? And if you have leftovers, don't bring them to the staff kitchen and use the microwave. Specifically when my office is next to the fucking staff kitchen, because I don't want to smell fish all day. Seriously, like really, really, nothing resonates. And again, it may taste absolutely delicious. I'm okay with that. I'm not doubting that. But really, like you couldn't go to Subway. Or here's a concept. You couldn't go home to eat that. Is it just me? Because I have super sensitive smelling. Or no. I'd like to think somebody else.
There are certain things that should never meet a microwave at a workplace. Fish being one of them.
Oh, my goodness. That is a dagger right there, right in the old nostrils.
It's I remember the folks that would always do like tuna fish and things like that too. Like I'm gonna heat up my tuna fish.
I didn't know. Yes, you do. Short of not being able to smell, which in that regard, I suppose you're okay, but you're warming up salmon. What the fuck do you think it's gonna smell like? S'mores? You kind of understand going into it, but
yeah. I remember someone who loved corned beef and cabbage who would bring that into work quite a bit too. And some people love that smell and some people hate that smell. I'm in the club of I hate that smell. I like eating it, but I do not like the smell, especially the canned sauerkraut part of it. And that would just, that's another one just totally destroys a workplace. And it's just, don't do it. It's great. You love it. And that's what you enjoy eating. Don't bring it to work. That's all. It's just, it's consideration for others. That's it.
If we can't get into this for this episode, we'll shelf it till the next. But if you would rate the most annoying sensory of another colleague, would it be sound in the case of gum chewer, random whistler in small places because they're bored, so they just have to fucking whistle?
Mm-hmm.
Or scent? Sound or scent? In my opinion, those are the two that you have zero control over colleagues. The sounds they make, or what they choose to microwave in the staff kitchen.
Oh, God. Or what they smell like. I've had that, too. Where
like perfume? I do. Why did you put the whole bottle on?
I had that. I had one where it was, I'm guessing there was probably something medically wrong, and I really felt genuinely bad for the guy, but it was difficult to be in the same room as him. And it was his breath. And there, like I said, I felt bad, but at the same point, you're on the receiving end of this. You can't pretend it's not there as much as you try. I mean, I didn't say anything and I think he knew it, but it was like, holy shit. I'm not kidding. It smelled like he was eating poop. And I'm not exaggerating. It literally, it was horrible. And it was just like, what the hell? And I feel bad for the guy because I don't know. I mean, I would think there'd be something you could do about that. I don't know, but it was just like, God, that's gotta be difficult with the reactions he gets all the time. He's gotta be aware of this. But it was difficult to talk or be in the same room because he'd go into an office, shut the door. When you're in a studio, you shut the door usually and you're doing nothing but talking. So then you leave that room and your breath is kind of emanating. If you eat garlic, the thing's going to smell like garlic. If your breath smells like feces, the room's going to smell like feces. And it would smell like a fucking porta potty when I'd go into the studio after him. And it's like, what do we do? And it was rough, but that is going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you got one and you want to share it, write it in at officehorrorstories.com or call in at 833-HATE-JOB, toll free. We air it on a future episode of the show. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.
Hey,
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence. It doesn't leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right
That's
into
so
the screen.
Gross.
I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into... something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone. What?
You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that shift.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then, I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver, unless I'm fasting for 36 hours. Because that resets your whole, like, everything. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Like and subscribe.